Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, Mr. Ben Gehr is with us today. He is Mr. York County Habitat for Humanity, him along with Tim Veek. And I just mentioned to Ben, if there ever was a time in York County's history when we needed affordable housing, it is now, because this real estate market is absolutely nuts.
It absolutely is. And thanks so much for having us on today. The reality is that in South Carolina alone, one in eight families are spending 50% or more of their income on their housing costs, and things are only getting worse. Now, in the U.S., that's a one in seven, and Habitat is really focusing on a building, repairing, and rehabbing affordable housing. And our program really helps people to have access to purchasing a home at an affordable rate. So part of our goal is no more than 30% of their income who become Habitat home buyers will spend no more than 30% of their income on their housing costs, which is mortgage, insurance, and taxes.
Okay, so first off, Ben, tell everybody a little bit about Ben Gehr, if you would.
Sure. I'm the Director of Development with Habitat, and I help with the fundraising, recruit companies, organizations to that want to fund as well as volunteer with Habitat for Humanity.
And in a normal year, which we have not had in 2020, but in a normal year, you will build and rehab what? What are the numbers normally?
Well, our goal last year was six homes. We wanted to build six homes and complete 50 repair projects.
All right.
The reality was we were able to complete 17 repair projects. And in our fiscal year, we basically were able to build five homes. So our goal this year is to build four homes and complete 25 repair projects. And we'll also have a fifth home that we hopefully will get started at the end of this year as well.
So in 2020, you did 17 repair jobs and five new homes?
Correct.
Okay. That's not bad. That's not bad considering what you had to go through.
Right.
And with all the business about the pandemic and having to do the three W's, you know, wear the mask and wash your hands and stay away from people, you would think that that would be easier on a construction site. True or false?
Well, it is, depending on if you're working outside or inside. So obviously, a lot of our work for our repairs or our new home construction, you know, we're painting, we're installing kitchen cabinets, we're, you know, trim and things like that. When you're outside, then it's a little better environment. But Habitat's developed a very stringent protocol. We do require face mask for everyone. We require hand washing. We also do temperature checks when people come on site, and we have limited the number of volunteers that can come out. So we used to be between 10 to 15 volunteers before the pandemic. We limited it to six volunteers. And again, so people can properly social distance and, you know, avoid getting infected.
So give me, even though we had all this in place in 2020, it does seem that you were able to get a remarkable amount of work done despite the COVID. I mean, you got five out of the six houses you had planned, and you did 17 out of 50 repair projects. And my guess is the repair projects got slowed down because you had to have people pretty close to each other.
Right. Right. Well, the reason that we were able to get as much done as we did, number one, is that we had to pay a lot of subcontractors to come out. So we weren't doing any interior work on our repair side. So if there was interior work to be done, we had to hire subcontractors to come in and do that work. And then we have a core group of volunteers who are primarily retired that follow the strict protocol. They were really the labor for last year. Now, we did bring some groups out later in the year when it sort of looked like it was getting better in terms of infection rates and things like that. But, you know, it's we spent a lot more money to do the work that we did. The sad thing is that we had scheduled 50 repair projects. So that means, you know, a lot of folks didn't have the repairs done on their homes that they anticipated.
So those are going to roll over to this year?
Absolutely, yes. Okay.
So if a house, to build a new house, you work out a price with a new home buyer, and that price got impacted by the fact that you had to hire a lot more subs. So does the home buyer have to assume that responsibility, or does Habitat eat that?
Well, this is the way it works. So if it cost us $150,000 to build a home, what we do is we look at what is 30% of the home buyer's income, and their mortgage is going to be based on that amount that they can pay. So they may only be able to afford a $100,000 mortgage. Well, what happens to that additional $50,000? That goes into what we call a silent second mortgage that they never have to pay on as long as they make their payments. If they decide to sell the home after 5 years, they have to satisfy that silent second mortgage as well as the first mortgage. So it's a way to protect. I mean, we're building homes to provide a stable home environment for the family, not for them to turn around and sell it or to flip it or anything right. like that. And so that's the way that we contain the investment that the community has really made in Habitat. And
so in 2020, being a nonprofit, I'm sure annual donations and contributions, they just kind of fell off the rail.
Yeah, I mean, they did. Obviously, a lot of our larger corporate donors sort of do something where they want to send out a team, but they'll also contribute $5,000. And because they weren't sending out their teams last year, they weren't contributing the $5,000 or whatever amount that we negotiate with them. So that definitely had an impact. We didn't realize the revenue that we had hoped to realize. And again, our expenses were up on the other side because we had to subcontract out a lot more work.
All righty. So for 2020, what's the positive news out of the your annual community report?
Well, our hope is that we intend to build 4 homes this year, and we believe that it's going to be possible. I mean, we're hoping that, you know, the pandemic really subsides, and again, with our strong protocol. So we're hoping to build 4 homes this year and start a 5th at the end of the year. And then we're also, we have hopes of doing 25 repair projects. So again, we're not back to where we were last year, but if things really turn around and, you know, we have a lot of corporate support, hopefully we can increase those numbers. But conservatively, that's what we're believing that we'll be able to accomplish this year.
Well, as I said at the outset of the program, with this boom real estate market that we're in, It's just more and more important that we find a solution to this affordable housing issue. Habitat is one way of doing it, obviously.
That's right.
But to do it on the scale that needs to be done to meet the demands of this growing population, therein lies the challenge. How do we do it on that kind of a scale?
Well, again, it's always going to take multiple partners to make this happen, and we conducted a Habitat on the Hill where we did some Zoom meetings with our local legislators that represent us in Washington, D.C. We're going to be doing the same with our South Carolina legislators and just informing them of some of the challenges that we're facing, but also the critical need for affordable housing. The reality is that 23% of the renters in South Carolina are spending more than 50% of their income and
on rent.
And again, when someone moves into a home buying situation, their housing cost is fixed, other than taxes or insurance that may go up.
Right.
But their housing cost is fixed. Our home buyers are paying a mortgage between $550 and $600. Our renters, people who were renting before they became a Habitat home buyer, were spending anywhere from $900 to $1,100 to rent a place. So it's a tremendous amount of savings. And again, the whole goal is no more than 30% of their income towards their mortgage or housing costs.
So does Habitat go after, maybe nationally, grant possibilities where you might be able to get a large influx of money to escalate the numbers of projects that you're trying to do?
Well, they have partnerships with like Lowe's and Home Depot, and they've been great partners locally. But in terms of, they will access some funds, and that will give us some access. But basically, it's up to each affiliate. Our organization has to go out and raise those funds. So we're working with a local community foundations, which have been very good. Springs Close Foundation has been very good to Habitat. And the York County Community Foundation has been very good. And again, we're just looking at a lot of different partners, banking, other businesses. I'll mention Charlotte Mechanical. They provide, this year they're going to provide three homes, all the plumbing services that we need, which is about an $8,000 price tag. They're donating it for three of our homes. So there's lots of opportunities for people to businesses and individuals and corporations, civic and service organizations, faith communities to get involved to really impact the need for affordable housing here in York County.
So I'm trying to sit here and think out of the box. How could we, let's just say somebody were to drop $5 million into the local Habitat budget. So all of a sudden, you can start building a whole bunch of houses. But then you're going to need a whole bunch of people. So how would you go about assembling an army of people to build and I'm assuming you would find the land to do this and get the permits and all that. But how would you go about assembling an army to accomplish in 1 year what it might take you 5 years to do?
Well, I would say that our biggest challenge is always the funding. So if someone dropped $5 million, I guarantee you we would find a way to get that done, because there are plenty of folks that want to come out and volunteer and make an impact. There certainly would be some scaling up, but I would tell you that also land is a huge need of Habitat. So if someone is out there that has a lot that they don't want to deal with anymore, they don't want to pay the taxes and mow the grass, Habitat will certainly accept that, or larger parcels of land. If they have homes that they've rented out and they don't want to deal with it anymore, Habitat would take those homes, renovate them, and then move a family in there. So there's lots of opportunities. No matter where you are, what your situation is, if you've got some land or home or funding, we can, deploy it to really have an impact.
And remember, if you donate that home to Habitat, you're going to get a nice tax write-off.
That's correct. Well, that's correct.
Might be an interesting thing for somebody to think about who is aging out of the rental home business, because, I know people who've been renting homes all their lives.
Right.
But they're getting to the point, I'm tired of fooling with the doggone thing.
Right.
It's tough to dispose of it right now. Solution might be
right.
Habitat.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. We even have some oldies but goodies that have showed up here to have a sandwich today. I know they know how to do it. At the count of three, we're going to tell everybody to recite the white letters aloud. Are we ready? One, two, three. Light, light, light. God, God. There we go. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
Your health care can't wait. Piedmont Medical Center has a full-service ER ready to accommodate any health care need. This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Medical Director of the Emergency Department at Piedmont Medical Center. From trauma care to imaging and lab services, we offer high-quality care with board-certified physicians. Don't delay in an emergency. Count on us to be here for you 24/7, 365 days a year. Learn more about Piedmont Medical Center's emergency room and check in online at mypmc.com/ercheckin.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Ben Guerra is with us. He's the Director of Development for Habitat for Humanity here in York County. How would you say, Ben, we stack up? How does York County stack up with other habitat organizations, let's say, throughout the state of South Carolina?
Well, I think that we're one of the larger ones. Greenville has a very good program. Columbia has a very good program. Myrtle Beach, some of the larger areas, but being basically a bedroom community to Charlotte has also been an advantage for us, because there are a lot of businesses that are interested in partnering with Habitat. So it's been positive.
Now, you realize we're going to annex that suburb to the north. Did you know that?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we're going to annex that. Yeah, we're going to get a few things fixed up there.
Well, that's good. That's
so they'll
good.
Be the bedroom community to us.
Okay.
I just want to make sure you got that right.
Terrific.
Well, it is. Yeah. I'm still interested in how we can, as you point out, ramp up this affordable housing issue, because it is... Rock Hill, York County, needs to be a place where everybody can live, right? Now, I'm not talking about big, big fancy houses. I'm talking about a roof over your head,
right.
Something that you can afford.
Right.
As you point out, 30% max of whatever your take-home income is.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out, through your brain power, how we can do that. You said if you got more money, the rest of it would fall in place. Is that basically what you're saying?
Well, I mean, that's a huge part of it. I think the logistics, the volunteer support, we can manage that. That will happen. The key is the funding. But also, you know, government has a role to play in this. And so, you know, there is some pieces of legislation out there that are offering some tax credits to investors to build affordable housing and to renovate, you know, some of the more depressed communities in York County. So there are opportunities for that. And I know that, you know, talking taxes is not necessarily favorable, but I think that the legislation that's being proposed will take someone who has money to invest and they invest it in Habitat and building affordable housing, they get a tax savings for that investment that they're making. So
that makes a lot of sense, because you take a look at the various incentives that are in place. Let's just take a look at the Knowledge Park area.
Right.
And all the special tax incentives, historic tax incentives, what have you.
Right.
Which are making that project possible.
Right.
So if this legislation were to come about,
right,
whereby we can incentivize people to make these kinds of contributions to the effort,
right,
that certainly makes it more attractive.
Right.
So where are these? Are these still talking stages?
Well, I think there was a piece of legislation that was put forth in the last Congress, and they're going to bring it back again. And I believe there's a Senate bill that exists in D.C. That is being considered, and that obviously the House has also got to put forth that type of legislation as well. But I think it has traction. It seems to have some appeal, some bipartisan appeal, which is
unusual.
Yeah, highly unusual. The other piece of it, and again, this is you know, we're working with families that are making 30 to 60% of the area median income, so they're making between $20,000 to $30,000, let's say. There's no way you can participate in the real estate market at that level, except for a Habitat program. So we build modest homes, 1,100 square feet. But it's a very well-constructed home, and that one will last their lifetime. But I think that it is important that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about increasing the minimum wage, and I think that would be helpful to folks, because there are people that just don't make enough income to even afford a Habitat home. And if you're making, you know, $725, that's like $15,000 a year. And if you've got, you know, a couple kids, you're not going to qualify for a Habitat home. And so raising the minimum wage, I think, would be a huge benefit to a lot of folks.
You know, when you talk about what's going on in D.C., it makes you wonder. For instance, the city of Rock Hill has a neighborhood housing department,
right,
which has kind of been revamped here recently. Have you all explored with them, with their ability to get grant money for X, Y, and Z, is there a possibility of them getting dollars that would be funneled through to the Habitat concept and build more houses?
You know, those are lots of possibilities, absolutely. And I would say that, you know, we've been having some very favorable conversations with the mayor and with the council, and exploring ways how we can work together to more effectively address the need for affordable housing. But there are some limitations there too. So we're trying to work through some of those. And I'm not necessarily an expert. I'm not involved in those particular conversations. Tim Veek is, and so he could more address the issue and talk about some of the challenges with that. But we're looking for partners wherever we can find them, and Housing Development Corporation is certainly someone that we work with and we have been in partnership with, and I think we're going to continue to explore the opportunities that are there.
Well, and I hope those turn out the way that they should. I mean, even York County. I mean, have you talked to anybody at York County? I don't think they have a neighborhood housing department, but I mean, they certainly are dealing with this same issue.
Right. And we've had some conversation. There have been some conversations. Our conversations tend to be at the local level. So we've met with the York County mayor. We've met with the Clover mayor. Certainly, Mayor Geddes in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. We've sort of working at that level. And I think that there are certainly opportunities for us to work with the county legislators to address this issue as well.
You know, there's been a lot of conversation on and off in Rock Hill about this concept of tiny homes. You're talking about 1,200 square foot homes. We're talking about 400, 500 square foot homes. Have you been involved with all that, or have you looked at that as a possibility?
Well, I think that that's something that we would consider. I know that... there has been some conversation, but if that makes sense, and again, I think part of it is the zoning regulations that would have to change in order for that kind of a concept. But for a single person, a veteran, retired, you know, living on a fixed income, could be a great solution. So we would certainly be open to that.
Well, I think it's important that we review what makes Habitat's process so unique. A homeowner that you have put through the grill, they've got sweat equity in this thing. I mean, this is not just here's a home, come live in it. No.
Right.
I mean, I've seen it. They're out there banging the nails with the rest of the volunteers.
Right.
And when you see that glow on their face when that project is done and they've got a home and a roof over their head, I mean, I don't know how you describe that.
Right. No, and our families are extremely grateful. And as you say, every person who qualifies to become a Habitat home buyer, they have to put in 250 hours of sweat equity. And they have to help build somebody else's home before they spend the last 100 hours working on their own home. And so it does impact them. And again, I think volunteers really enjoy meeting the families. You're going to become the homeowner here, and they get to share their story and maybe pictures of their kids and things like that. I think it becomes very meaningful for the volunteers to say, I'm helping to provide this home for this mom and her two or three kids.
I remember on that one build that we assisted on for one day over there, we were just really, the house was framed in.
Right.
And they stopped everybody and they said, here, take this Sharpie and write your name on this beam.
That's right.
That would never be seen because it would be under the roof. But it was pretty interesting that somewhere out there, all the workers have their name on that house.
That's right.
Neat idea.
Yeah. And again, it more personalizes sort of a person's involvement. Like you said, it may never be seen. Maybe in 150 years when they tear the house down, they're like, who is that Manning Kimmel? Where was he from?
All right, so Ben, if people want to get behind this, you have a website they can go to or a phone number we can contact?
Yes. It's yorkcountyhabitat.org. Or if they want to call me directly, they've got that home they want to get rid of or a piece of land, 803-985-9244.
Okay. Ben, thank you so much for all the work you are doing. And Tim, thank you both. Habitat for Humanity, important part of York County and everything that's going on here. And if you can help out, please do so. That'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way that most people know, but for those of you that don't, we're going to put it right in your ear right now. The count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
garden, 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 garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.